always. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything.
Okay, so in verse 15, whenever you see the image of the invisible God, you should be thinking of Genesis. Genesis 1:27, what did God say? Let us make Adam, humanity, man. Let us make him in our blank.
Our image.
Okay? Well, did he do that? And what do we call that first imager? We call him Adam, okay, Adam. All right, it just means red clay, it means dirt, but it means humanity also. And guess, or you don't have to guess, who was the second Adam in the Bible?
Jesus.
That would be Jesus, and that's who they're talking about here. But he was not created, we understand that, because he always existed. How can that be? That is the doctrine of the Trinity, that's the doctrine of the eternal Godhead. All right, so what I want us to do, and since we've done that, now, so that's where Jesus, when it says in verse number, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, thrones, dominion, principalities, and powers. All things, verse 16, were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, that is the providence of God. He created it, and he sustains it. So there you go. Guess what? That's Jesus. Whenever Patrick quotes Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the heavens and the earth, that's what you're about to see who's going to do the work. Now let me prove it to you. Go to John 1. Doug's already introduced John 1 as being, whether it's a proper way for some cultures to begin, but it was sure proper for the Hebrew culture to begin, John 1:1. And tell me if you hear in John 1:1 echoes of Genesis 1. Somebody read 1:1 through 1:5. Okay? 1:1 to 1:5. Somebody read that. This is not new. You could quote this yourself. Somebody read that.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower.
Very good. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do is I want you to think back to what you just saw in the little movie. All right. And in the beginning was the heavens and the earth. Where in Genesis 1 do you find the third part of Hebrew cosmology under the earth? Where do you find that, John? Well, it ain't there. And the reason I point to John is because he is going to tell you that there was no need for under the earth, because the under the earth is the realm of the what? What did it tell you? The under the earth is called Sheol, and it's the realm of the what?
Dead.
Who is dead in Genesis 1 yet? Nobody, okay? So what happens is you had the heavens and the earth, that's in their mind. You get under the earth in Genesis chapter 3, because what happens to man, humanity, in chapter 3? They die, okay? They die. They don't die physically then, all right? They die spiritually, and that's the death that the rest of this book is working on to get fixed. This book is not fixing your physical death. Ain't the one that's important, all right? That's not the one. It's fixing the death, capital D, which is separation from God, Adamic death. And how is that death fixed? Well, it's fixed by him, okay, who is the second Adam, and reconciles you back to God. That's why you're never going to die. You're going to die, but you're not going to die, right? You're going to physically die. You already have eternal, you have life to the age is the literal translation. You're never going to die spiritually. All right? That's what we're talking about here. Now, the way I want to introduce this God-man to you is also from John. All right, Doug, you were reading. Go down to verse 16 through 18. And let me ask you a question when he gets through reading 16 through 18. This also is about Jesus. Yeshua, go ahead.
For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. grace, and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him.
So, verse 18, that's the one I got up here. No one has ever seen God. No one has seen God at any time. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. Explain that. So first of all, who, and the word there, CF points out, properly so, he has declared him. Anybody have a different word, or do you know the Greek word that comes from? You got it written in there?
Exegete.
He has exegeted him. He has shown him, all right? He has explained him. So he explaining him, we're talking about God explaining God. How can that be? All right, well, I'm going to show you how it can be, and I'm going to go back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, all right, and how many of you have heard sermons? I know you have. You've heard sermons preached on that, but what a preacher will do when they get to this John 1:1 is that they will get off into Greek thought, which Greek thought had definitely permeated through the Jewish world through who? Alexander the Great. And they had Hellenization, which means the Greekifying, the making the whole world Greek, right? He conquered the whole world, went all the way to the Indus River, and so that's what was happening. Well, that happened in the Jewish religion also. And so what you hear preachers do is they begin to talk about John. Well, John's talking about these elements of creation, the earth, air, wind, and fire, all that kind of stuff. Stop it. Just stop it. It ain't where you go to a Hebrew-thinking Israelite, a Jew. You don't go there. Do you know where you go? How about go left of Matthew? Okay? That's where you should go. Go left of Matthew. And I want you to do that. In fact, go all the way to Genesis. And I want you to go, when John's talking about the Word, go to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. And when John is writing that gospel and begins with that, just stop it about all this Greek stuff, okay? Why don't you go to Genesis 15 and be introduced to somebody here? If somebody will read Genesis 15, well, just read 15:1. We'll talk about it and then we'll go some more. Somebody read that, Genesis 15:1. See if you got any different words. Go ahead.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great."
Do you have the same word there? Yes. Is it capitalized? Well, do it. Because here he is. Here he is. This is him. This is him. This is Yahweh. How do you know? Well, we're not going to read the whole thing, but what he said, "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Go down to verse 6. Well, go to 4. Go to 4. "And behold, the word of Yahweh." You understand it's Yahweh. Does everybody have capital L, capital O, capital RD? Scratch it and put Yahweh. That's this. Yod, hey, Bob, hey, that's sometimes called a tetragrammaton. It's used over 7,000 times in the Old Testament. You know how many times your translation probably uses it?
No.
No, nay. None. That's his name. Why do we change that? I don't know. But stop it, okay? That's him. That's his name. It means I am who I am, or I am. Stop it. But I don't know why our editors Englishize all this stuff, but if you're wearing a turban, you should call him Yahweh. And every time you see capital L, capital O, capital RD, that tetragrammaton, that's Yahweh. That's his name. That's his covenant name. He wants you to call his name. Okay? Is that all right? But who is this in verse 6, like in verse number 1 of 15? "And behold, the capital W," make it a capital W, and that'll help you. "The word of Yahweh came," saying, no, that you're going to have another heir. Okay? Verse 6. Verse 6, "and he," that's Abram, "he believed in" who?
Yahweh.
It's not the Lord. It is, he believed in Yahweh, and he, Yahweh, accounted it to him for righteousness. This is what James quotes, where he talks about, was Abraham, well, excuse me, he ain't Abraham yet, is he? No, he ain't got, what I say last week, when Abram turned into Abraham, what got added? No. What is that?
Breath.
The breath. Okay, does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What about after Jesus resurrected, he meets him all in the upper room, and he says, I peace, I leave with you. But it's before he did that, he says, what did John say he did? He breathed on him. He breathed on him. Well, that's kind of bad manners, is it? What's going on there? What's going on with your understanding of the Bible? What's Jesus doing now? First interaction after he's being born, what's he doing?
Bringing
him
to life.
He's giving him to life. That's the breath of God. He's doing it again. Who did it in Genesis 2 where he says he molded this man from the ground, and then what did he do to him? Yes, don't get too close when you do that to a human, but it's okay. That's the second person doing that. How do you know it's the second person? John just told you. Has anyone seen God? And what he means is Yahweh number one. Has anybody ever seen God at any time? No.
No.
Even to today? Well, I'm going to say no. Okay, but anyway. Well, and so who did they ever see? They saw Yahweh number two. The second person. Here he's called the Word. And don't you think that when people are reading John 1:1, they understand. This ain't the only place. I can show you a lot more, but this is just a good one. Put Genesis 15 in your mind. That the Word came and talked to Abram. The Word.
And it's in that verse 2 of 15 that Abram turns around and responds to him as Yahweh.
Where is it?
It's verse 2. I mean,
verse 2.
We're told in 1, Yahweh's Word, thank Yahweh comes to him, and then Abram addresses him as Yahweh.
There you go. Thank you. Look, I just went right by it, okay? You see it too there? What is Abram calling? He calls him Yahweh, all right? Elohim, all right? That's what he said. He knows who this is. Some people say, and they'll teach you that Abram was a moon worshiper in Ur of the Chaldees, okay? And they say that because it does quote that in Scripture. However, the Israelites in their intertestamental writings, they didn't believe that he remained a moon worshiper in Chaldees or Babylon until he came to the Promised Land. He wasn't. In fact, some of their teaching says that he was run out of his home country because he burned down one of the temples, okay, of these false gods that they had. The family had to get out of town because of what he did as only a 12-year-old kid. You never heard that. But that's just in the Israelite writings. I don't know if it's true, not in the Scripture. Okay? But Abram may have been called at a very early age to be a Yahweh follower. You don't know that. It's just that his daddy wasn't, and so forth. We know that. All right? But anyway, back to what we're talking about. Here's where the Word is introduced to you. Did you put a capital W? I hope you do. But this is proof to you that there is, at least entertain the idea that there is a Yahweh number one that no one has ever seen. There is also a Yahweh, because he's called Yahweh right here, but he's sometimes called the Word of Yahweh. Okay? Is that different? Yes? No. Is that a problem with you? No? Are you a New Testament Christian? You believe in the Trinity? Yes? Do you think the Trinity just got started in Matthew 1:1? No. It didn't start. It just always was. You see that? But why when you talk to Jews today, and even in when they say the Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6, they say, the Lord our God, Yahweh our God is one, and they call themselves monotheist. Okay, monotheist means what? Mono means one, theist. Theos is one God. But they believed all this. They believed all this. When did they start the whole big monotheism deal? It's about in the second century after who came along? After the second person came and became incarnate. Now that's when the Jews got all hep up on this monotheism stuff. They had to believe that this was a second person. Who is this talking to Abram? At the same time, there's always a God that's in heaven on the throne. He's a second person. Okay? So accept that just for a minute. And now go to Genesis chapter 18. Just flip over there. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Okay?
The very first verse. Okay? I'm not going to read the whole thing. But then blank appeared to him by the terebinth trees at Mamre. This is where he's ministering. What do you got? What do you got? Then the blank. Fill in the blank. Who is it?
Yahweh.
It's Yahweh. Okay? It's the tetragrammaton. It's Yahweh. So Yahweh appears to here. He appears to Abraham. All right? And Abram's sitting there, okay, in a tent, heat of the day. He lifted his eyes. He looked. Behold, how many men were standing there?
Three.
Who's one of them?
Jesus.
Jesus would be kind of like right, but no. No.
He wasn't called Jesus.
Yes, he was not yet Jesus. And so, very good, Patrick. Patrick's been down this road with us because we love to study this. But I want you to understand, and this has to do with the Christmas story, the difference between embodiment and incarnate. What you just seen in Genesis 15 is Yahweh embodied. That makes sense. Is he talking to him? You go about seeing 18, he's fixing to chow down. You're seeing an embodied Yahweh, number two. He's going to eat. And he's going to discourse with Abram. He's going to say, hey, what if you find 50 in the city, 40, 30, 20, give me whatever. You know, that's what's... What is the difference, though, anybody that don't know the answer, what would you guess the difference between embodied and incarnate? Anybody? Anybody?
Well, this one was begotten. Incarnate was begotten.
Okay.
I don't know if that's it or not.
Well, yeah. Into what? Into what?
A human body.
Physical man.
Into a human. Let's say it that way. I wouldn't say into a physical body, because did that ever happen before? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but here is different than just getting a body of a human. This is taking on humanity. Does that make sense? This is where he becomes Adam number two, right? This is when he does that, is incarnate. Everything that humans have, that's why we say he's fully God and fully man, fully human. But it's different than being embodied. Would you say?
Yeah,
I mean, all right, so comment. Yeah.
Go ahead.
One and another.
Colossians 2:9 comes to mind. In him is the fullness of the deity bodily.
There you go. In him is the fullness of the deity. That's up here, is it? Yes? Fullness of the deity. Did he give any of that? Did he lose any of that when he came in Philippians 2? The kenosis passage. Kenosis means to, what's the word? To give up or to empty. That's the word, empty. So, the fullness of the deity, that's him. But what did he do when he came and did this? He gave up some, but it's still the fullness of the deity indwelling in this form.
So obviously when he said, let us make Adam in our image, that fullness of the deity didn't actually occur until Christ.
That's a good question. The fullness of deity could not have been given to Adam 1. No, he was the fullness of humanity, but he couldn't be the fullness of deity, Adam 1.
Holy Spirit in us, is that the fullness of deity?
I've heard, I think, and I show you the Bible says, it's the fullness of what humanity can be. But you're never going to be God. You're going to be glorified. You're going to be like God in a way, but you're not going to be God. That was the lie, was it not? Yes?
But the Holy Spirit has the image of God, but we're not like the Trinity in us. Or I don't know how to say it.
No, but the Holy Spirit is the back in you. Is it not? Is it not? That's what you should have. And who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is Jesus, the New Testament tells us. So it's not Jesus, but it is Jesus. That's where you get your Trinity. You have Yahweh number one, you have Yahweh number two, and you have the Holy Spirit. They've been there forever, okay? But so I'm not trying to comprehensively explain it. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says about it. But it's nothing wrong with it. And the point being is that I'm just showing you where the word of Yahweh's has just already showed up in Genesis 15. And we're seeing, and let me come to your point, but look here in 18, I'm just going to show you. Well, I ain't saying I understand it.
No, I said if I was fullness of deity, I could have.
Oh, yeah, if you were deity, you could understand it too. I'm just saying, you ever heard the difference in apprehend it versus comprehend it? Apprehend it, look, just take it, accept it. And we got to stop. But we'll pick up here next week. Look in verse number 13.
And Yahweh said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? So that's Yahweh talking to him. Is he embodied? Yes, but he's not yet incarnate. That doesn't come till Yeshua. That didn't come till Jesus, Mary, the whole story. But he's embodied. He's showing up all the time. I'll show you some more of them. Okay, go down to verse number 17. And who said, what do you got? What do you got?
Yahweh.
Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? No. And so go down to verse 22. Then the men turned away, those two of them, they went to Sodom, but Abraham stood before who?
Yahweh.
Verse 26. So Yahweh said, if I find, blah, blah, blah. Go down to verse 33. So who went his way as soon as he had finished? Who went? Who went?
Yahweh.
Look, he came, he ate, he talked, he bargained, he went. Who is that? Depends what you make out of John 1:18, okay? Has anyone ever seen God at any time? No. Who ever showed him? The second person. Even back in Genesis? Yes. 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 Now look, we got to stop. I'm sorry, I didn't know we went over. I know the comments, but quickly.
Well, the difference between here and here.
Yes.
Here he came as Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, here he come and go as spiritually and physically.
Yes.
When he wanted to.
Yes.
He became an angel and he became a word and stuff like that.
Yes.
He commanded all the Lord and stuff like that.
Yes.
He had all types of different names.
Yes.
Until he got to the second Adam, actually reappeared.
Yes. And I'm going to show you these next week. We're going to look at some more. But so far you've seen that the word of Yahweh is the second person, or at least the second one that you've seen.
He has all kinds of names.
Well, there's not a ton of them, but there's at least a few of them that you ought to know. And he's called these things. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you. Father, may we do some more of this. We understand who this is that we see come incarnate and dwell among men. It's even you, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry we couldn't get off.